Survey was done to see which of the characters from the Advent account most people would identify with. I'm sure that the vote went and the results were in. Would you think it was Mary? Would you think it was Joseph? Would you think it was the wise guys? How many of you think voted for Herod? Well, probably not. But not surprisingly, the shepherds came out by far. Now, when I was young, I always wanted to play a shepherd, but I usually ended up being one of the sheep. Or I ended up being a rock or a palm tree. Just stand there. That's all I had to do. And I'm not sure exactly why I missed out on it. Anyway. But you know, most of us are pretty comfortable with the Christmas story. Maybe we're so familiar with it, it's become a part of fable and part legend in our minds. Some have sentimentalized the story so much that we skim along in a pretty superficial level, counting down instead to the remaining shopping days, or stressing about all the things that need to be done, or doing the hustle bustle of the season and neglecting the message of the nativity. It reminds me of the account of the little girl that was misquoting John 3:16 when she said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." Well, you know, sometimes that's exactly what happens in the busyness of the season. And this morning we know that the songs have helped us to remember the baby who was born in Bethlehem was Jesus, the Son of God, and to realize he brings us great wondrous joy. Now, the shepherds receive news about a gift that is still being passed along. It is being re-gifted. It is a message of joy that is provided for us. Because of what they did with the gift, we're able to sing joy to the world. And I find it very interesting that as we read the account that God sent the birth announcement about his son to the world to, of all people, shepherds. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it doesn't really tell us much about who they are. It doesn't say much in regard to adjectives being used to describe them. It just very simply says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby." Now, throughout the history of Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. Abel was the first to have this job, followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And of course, we know the most familiar shepherd of the Old Testament was David. And God calls himself a shepherd, and we're in the account compared to sheep. Now, please understand, that is not a huge compliment. But by the time we get to the first century, however, shepherding has lost its luster. Shepherds are in the lowest class of people, coming in just above, of all people, the lepers. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights from the rabbis, we read these words: "No help is to be given to the heathens or shepherds." Now, why did that come about? In order to understand how unusual it was for the angels to appear to the shepherds, let's learn a little bit about them. Well, first, they were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend any of the religious services of the day. They were isolated and forgotten because of, again, their occupation and the need of their flocks to move about to find new pasture and grass and fresh water. They never stayed in one place for very long. These individuals are known to be very brash and bold, and we are told that they lived out in the fields away from society, and it made them rather an unappealing group of people. Most of them had foul mouths, and they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. And it is to these people God gave the message of Christ. God entrusted the greatest message ever sent to heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. And actually, it's not so unusual if you really think about it, is it? For we realize that God has always worked wonders for the forgotten and for the despised and for the lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humble. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13 says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Through the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see that he reached out to sinners such as Zacchaeus and Levi. He reached out to those strangers that were needing of a message of hope and Samaritans. He did in his ministry what the Father did in a borrowed stable when the lowly shepherds looked at the Lord in a stable as the cattle were lowing. Mary captured this in her song recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 52, where she says, "He brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." You know, it doesn't say in the scriptures. Now, they were in the same region, scribes keeping watch over their scrolls at night. The Lord comes to the lowly, the most undeserving, to the neglected, the marginalized, in order to show his power. The shepherds help us to see that God has a message for folks, for sinners, just like us. Everyone matters to God. And the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts. Indeed, as the song says, what a strange way to save the world. And as we briefly look at the shepherd's response, we'll see some lessons that we can apply to our lives so we don't forget the message of the Son given to us this season. The first thing that we see about the shepherds are that they are attentive to their jobs. Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night." They were so committed to their work and their career that they would never leave. They not only worked the night shift, but they worked the first shift and the second shift as well. This was a 24/7 deal for them. And we see from this verse that they were faithful to it. It doesn't say that they were casually involved as we read this scripture. It doesn't say that once in a while they checked on the sheep. It says that they were keeping watch, attentive. Now, it was a practice of the day that several groups of sheep, several flocks, would gather at night in a fold. And they would go into this fold and they would find protection. We are told that one of the shepherds would literally lie across the entrance to make sure that none of the sheep would get out or any predator to get in. Which gives a meaning to the passage, John chapter 10, verse 9, where it says, "And Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." Notice that God gave attention to those that were attentive to the job that they were given to. These weren't slackers. God met them exactly where they were. And that's what God does for us. He meets us where we are. And the challenge is to do whatever God has given us, whatever journey we have, with excellence in this life. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men." Now, you may be thinking today that God doesn't even know you exist. And if he does, some way he might be mad at us. Friend, you are not insignificant to Emmanuel. God will meet you right where you are, and you don't have to clean yourself up on your own or act like someone that you're not. You, even if you smell like a shepherd, you can let Jesus wash you and cleanse you. If your sins are wiping you out, allow Jesus to lift you up. Heaven chooses to bring a message to those that have a life that is a mess. to the average achiever as well as to the high. We've been created in the image of God in an original masterpiece. And it is so amazing to think that the signature of the Creator is inscribed on our soul. But not only were they attentive, they were also in awe. They were suddenly awed by an angelic announcement that said an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. God meets us where we are, but He brings us to our knees when we realize who He is. God's glory lights up the sky and causes them to quake in their sandals. And whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because we realize we are sinners facing a perfect Heavenly Father. Peter had this response in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, and said to Jesus, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For when it says that they were those that were terrified, we think that it was the wonder and the awe, and it was. But it could have been the awe of the realization that they were thinking God was going to come and bring about correction in their lives. They were terrified because they didn't know if this was an angel of judgment or not. Whatever the case, they were in awe, and it would take a lot for these guys, these tough, bold, brash individuals, to have been terrified. This morning, I ask you, when's the last time that you've been in awe of the wonder of God and His message of Emmanuel? Do we marvel at the Messiah? Has it been a while since you've hit your knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
And I guess the question is why haven't we? Why haven't we knelt when we need to kneel? What is there about the Christmas story that hasn't made you fall and wonder what it's all about? All I know is we can make all kind of excuses. Well, I'm too old to kneel. It's too far down. I don't have that excuse. You fill in the blank. I don't know what it is for you, but we need to realize we need to kneel. All I know is I'm glad. I'm beyond glad that the shepherds decided that they needed to follow the message, that they needed to hear the story, that they needed to wonder and find that awe. But you know, it wasn't just that they were attentive. It wasn't just that they found all. They also accepted the good news. It's in Luke chapter 2, we read these words, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" And their hearts must have been beating 1,000 beats a minute. I mean, think about that. The sky was dark. All of a sudden, it lit up. And all of a sudden, everything they knew was changed. The night had become day. The angels were there before them. They had never seen anything like this. No one had ever seen anything like this from all the stories they knew. And they had been going, "What is happening?" And these angels are bringing them the good news of acceptance, of forgiveness, of hope. You and I would be lost without the message of Christmas. How much would we have to fear? How much would we have to wonder? They were bringing good news of great joy. I want you to think about this. The word "great" there is literally where we get the good news, is where we get the word "evangelize." The word "great" is, I guess, is where we understand the mega size of everything in today's society, right? You go to McDonald's, you want to supersize that? You want to mega size that? We got a mega. Why? Because mega means great. It's beyond imaginable. They're bringing this news that is beyond anything that anyone can compare. There is joy to be had. And I want you to understand that if you ever hear the word "joyless faith," that is a completely contradiction in terms. Because our faith should be filled with joy in every single way. And the message was for all people. But I want you to notice it was also, they said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news." The shepherds heard it. They understood what it was about. It was personal to them. And yes, they sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill, to whom His favor rests." And we know that the message was real. They know that they had accepted the message. Why? Because they said, let's go and see. Let's go and see what had happened. It wasn't just they accepted it, they also acted upon the message, which to me, hearing a message and not doing anything about it is worthless. And here the shepherds went. Luke 2:16 says, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and he was lying in the manger. In the King James, it actually says, they left in haste. In other words, let's go as fast as we can. Come on, guys. The light's out in the air. Let's go. That's how fast it was. They wanted to go to Bethlehem. And it's pretty amazing. You heard what Daryl talked about with the shepherds and their whole lifestyle and everything about it. They didn't hurry anywhere. I mean, let's face it. They were watching sheep. The only time sheep ran was if there was a wolf or if there was food. That was it. Other than that, they kind of wandered through the pasture and just ate along the way. A shepherd just could mosey their way. They didn't hurry anywhere. And what did they do? These patient men got up and hurried to Bethlehem. The Bible's clear that acceptance must lead to action. Faith must lead to action. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Our faith requires us to do something. So they went and they saw. They went and they saw the baby with their own eyes. I didn't want to just hear it from the angels. They wanted to see it. And here's what's ironic. Daryl talked about this. These unclean, these dirty, these smelly shepherds went into a place that they were very familiar with, into a stable, to do what? To bow down to the holiest, purest, tiny baby they had ever seen. They were in the midst of Emmanuel. I think it's crazy when we start to think about that. That God takes us right where we are, for who we are, whenever we need to be there. Many commentators point out that this possibly were the shepherds that were out watching the sheep that would be used in the sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. So when they heard the possibility of the Lamb of God coming, they ran. A millennial earlier, it would be in the same, probably in these same pastures, that King David would be out watching the sheep. And here now they're going to the city of David, the city of Bethlehem, to behold the Lamb of God. But after they got there, they didn't stay. They acted upon it and they left and they shared. Notice it would have been really easy at time. Tired, beautiful spot, pull up a bale of straw, sit down and just gawk at this beautiful little baby. How many times have you seen a newborn? What do you want to do? You want to hang around them as long as you can. You want to cuddle them. You want to hold them. You want to sing to them. They didn't stay there. They got up. They knew that this message was too important to share. It was too good to keep to themselves. And what did they do? They ran out and they shared. I think it's amazing to me when we start to think about these shepherds telling the story. Verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. Listen, you and I may not be here today if those shepherds hadn't went through the town and started crying out about the good news, if the shepherds would have kept quiet. You see, the message of the manger is something that should lead us to action. The message of the manger is something that we can't keep to ourselves. The message of Christmas is a message that should be given away every day. And everything that we do and everything that we say, it's a message that we shouldn't keep, but we should give away.
What if I told you you have the power to give someone hope beyond their wildest dreams? And what if I told you it's right there in your hands? in your hands. It's hard to imagine how something so small can make all the difference, tear down the tallest wall. What if December looked different this year? What if we all just give this Christmas away? If there's love in your heart, don't let it stay there. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive when you give this Christmas away.
It's feeding the hungry, it's serving the poor, it's telling the orphan, you're not forgetting anymore. It's doing what love does, even when no one's watching you.
Give this Christmas away. If there's love in your heart, don't stay there. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive when you give this Christmas away. For God so loved the world, he gave Son, so we could be his hands, his feet, his love, his love. What if I told you, you have the power to give someone hope far beyond their wildest dreams?
What if December looked different this year? And what if we all just
give this Christmas away? If there's love in your heart, don't let it stay here. Give this Christmas away, and your life will be changed by the gift you receive when you give this Christmas away.
Give this Christmas away. Just give it away. Give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. Give Christmas away.
And that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to give that message away. It's a message just like the shepherds that we shouldn't hold inside of us. It's a message that you and I are called to go out there and to re-gift it, to give it time and time and time again. I know that there may be those gifts that you get many times. Maybe it's a candle or a mug or something crazy and you get and you just kind of go, hey, I know where this goes. This goes in the re-gift pile. Why? Because you want to give it back away. Not because it's the greatest thing you've ever gotten, because it's just something you don't need. Listen, the message of Christmas is the greatest gift that you will ever get. And it's not a message that should be shoved in a cabinet. It's not a message that should be put in a box. It's a message that needs to be shared with the world. You see, these shepherds, They were attentive to what God had called them to do. They were in awe of the message. They accepted the good news and they acted upon it. But the last thing they did was they adored Emmanuel 24/7. And when you and I give Christmas away, it changes everything. But most of all, it changes us on the inside. And like the shepherds, oh yeah, you're going to go back to the same jobs. I wish I could tell you that Christmas would change everything, but it doesn't change everything. You're going to go back to the same jobs. You're going to go back to doing the same thing, but guess what? You don't have to go back the same person. Because in the inside, you're changed. The shepherds didn't write a book. They didn't go on a speaking tour. They didn't launch a ministry called The Shepherd's Story. They went back to what they were used to doing, but now they went back with great rejoicing. And you and I are to rejoice. You and I are to find joy. You and I are to restore the gift of joy, the gift of hope this Christmas. It's in Luke 2:20. We see this last statement about the shepherds, that they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and they had seen, which were just as they had been told. They didn't go out and wonder what they saw. They worshiped who they saw. And let me tell you, there is clear evidence that any time that we accept, any time that we truly make a change in our lives, it should always bring about adoration. It's been said that many of us worship our work. We work at our play and we play at our worship. We should change that completely around. Because when a person is genuinely converted, they will be changed. And the inside and on the out, by what they say, by what they do, by the things that they speak, by the life that they live. So allow yourself this Advent season, a season of hope, a season of love, a season of peace, a season of joy, to express what Christmas means to you. And don't just express it, give it away every day. If you're going to regift it, you have to understand it. You have to accept it first. The shepherds personalized their response. They got it. That message was for them. Christmas is a real story. It's part of our history. But it doesn't become more than a story until it becomes part of your story. Until Jesus becomes part of your life in every single way. It is in Luke chapter 2, we read probably the most beautiful words of all, where it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He was born for you and for me, one who came to forgive our sins as our Savior, as the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, as our Lord and Master, our leader and our friend." Corrie ten Boom said this one time, and I'll close with this. "If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, I would still be lost." You and I need to accept the message of Christmas, the joy that's found in that message each and every day, the hope that's found in, yes, a baby lying in a manger, but even more than that, a baby who would become our Savior, who would die on the cross so that we might have life and have it to its fullest. Friends, that's the message of Christmas. That's a message that should be regifted time and time and time and time again. A message worth giving away. Father, I pray this morning that there's someone here that needs to hear that message, that needs to accept that child, but even more so, that Savior. Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts. But Lord, even more than that, I pray that we would go out of these doors and we would, over the next 2 days, tell people what Christmas is all about. The truth, not the packages and the presents and the toys and the trees, but the message of a smelly stable, of a holy child born one night so long ago to bring hope, peace into a world, this world. Thank you for that message. May we never forget it in your name.